podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to?
This is Doug from After the Fall. Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Let's go. Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, and 107.1 FM KFGD, St. Louis, Missouri. Rudiru Radio on the beaches of San Diego, California. It's RudiruRadio.com, XRPRadio.co.uk in the Highlands of Scotland, Oldies XL.com in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and buildthescene.com/radio. This is episode number 638 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. And with me tonight are the gentlemen from Blood Union. Let me get them all up on the screen. I called you gentlemen. I don't know if you heard that.
Been called worse.
So why don't you guys real quick, I know in the video it shows all your names, but in the podcast and the radio show it will not. So why don't you each introduce yourself and tell us what you do in the band.
I'm Ron Gallucci. I'm Gooch and bass player.
Benji, the drummer, and I do background vocals and moral support.
Jay Snyder, lead guitar and just all-around talent in the band.
They're all nodding.
I'll agree with that. Yeah. I'm Tim. I sing and play some guitar.
Where did the name Blood Union come from?
Actually, it was a name I was holding on to for a while. And me and Tim actually started this band just to write some different songs and start out that way. Two words I threw together, and I'm like, man, that's going to be a cool band name one of these days. And I was just waiting to do something. And then me and Tim started doing stuff, and I was like, let's call it Blood Union, and just took off from there pretty much.
So how did you, like you said that, you know, you and Tim kind of started writing together. How did Benji and Ron end up in the band?
Actually, Blood Union has went through a lot of personnel changes, just trying to find the right guys. And me and Tim kind of just – Tim was super busy with bands. I was busy with bands, so we kind of just put Blood Union on hold. And actually why all of us are back playing together again is because COVID. We just – I think all of us were bored when we started talking, you know. And Gooch was in the band with us too there for a while. He was like the second to last guy that we knew we needed. And then looking for a drummer, Tim was like, hey – let's get Benji in. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And then, like, once COVID hit, we just got together and just wrote a couple songs, and now it's been taken off really, really, really good, really quick, too.
Yeah, if you listen to the Blood Union songs, there's three songs from that were recorded back in 2014, 2015.
Yeah.
Wicked.
What you lost,
and they were older songs with a different drummer. Since The World Apart on, that's been us four.
Let's shift into my oddball questions. This is the second time I'm asking this question. First time was last episode. If you could sit down to dinner with any four people in the history of the world, who would you invite to eat with you?
Wow. Should we each give you one or what?
You can each give me four if you can come up with four.
Dead or alive?
See, normally I ask my DeLorean question. You're going to get a DeLorean later. You can use it.
That's a tough one. That is a tough one.
My choice would be Mr. Diamond David Lee Roth. That would be my choice if I could sit down and have dinner with somebody. Because I know it'd be a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say Slash would be mine.
I'm going to throw you for a loop. I'd probably have to say Freddie Mercury. I'm a huge, huge Queen fan. That's
I do see it now. Yeah.
Is that your sheets or no?
It's my boxers. How about them?
Me? Oh, I don't know. I'd do some oddball stuff. I'd probably be like oh geez, like Gandhi and like Elvis and Ally Schicklgruber, if you knew who that is. Probably not. Oh geez, you know, political people. Somebody from today. Oh my goodness. Nobody political. I don't know. Oh geez. You know, I don't know. Somebody that's like very unilateral, like peaceful, kind of like has a good way to like you know, phrase things. Somebody that's makes sense. Ringo Starr, how about that? That'd be cool. Maybe an old Beatle, Paul McCartney, maybe. That would be neat.
That stupid meme has come up again. Have you seen that thing where when Paul was playing with Kanye and none of Kanye's fans knew who Paul was?
They're like, Kanye's going to give this old guy some likes.
That's pretty sad.
Yeah.
I was annoyed by that. I'm about to say something that might offend some people, but I said it multiple times on the show. I'm not really a Beatles fan, but we wouldn't be where we are.
I am not either. Actually, I'm influenced by musically of all the bands that were influenced by the Beatles, if that makes sense. You know, all my biggest influence are bands that were heavily influenced. I like the Beatles, but
So even if you think that you don't like the Beatles or somebody did something because of the Beatles that you like.
Right, right. And there are Beatles songs that I like. They're not like I've never gone out and bought any music from the Beatles. I've never, but you know, if certain Beatles songs come on, I listen to them and certain ones come on, I turn them off.
Yeah.
I've bought more stuff from them from their solo years than I've ever bought from the actual band themselves, like George Harrison, and John Lennon, and stuff like that. So,
well, here, since I've kind of got us in the direction of influences, let's say you guys are headed out on your first big tour, and for some reason you hire me to drive your tour bus.
Please.
Bad, bad idea. But anyway.
No, it's a good idea, but go ahead.
And so we're driving in between stops. What's the soundtrack going to be? What are we going to be listening to?
Oh, everything. Seriously, you have such a wide variety of influences with the four of us together.
Yeah.
There is. It's unbelievable. We go places influence-wise that you wouldn't even expect. I think that's what makes us so rich with our songwriting and stuff. I really do.
Yeah, there's a like a 5% pull of just everything. We're taking 5% of this, 5% of that, 5% of this. And it's just like, if someone would ask Gooch what his influences are, you'd be like, oh, well, yeah, now I can hear, you can't really hear it until he tells you. Then, like, oh, yeah, I hear it now. And it's same way with Benji and Tim and myself. I mean, you can hear just a little bit of it. There's obscure stuff that pops out and everything that we like and visually that comes out and you're like, I'd have never guessed that you guys listen to that. And like, it's all over the spectrum for sure.
It is. Really is.
Let's do the DeLorean question since I mentioned it already.
Go ahead. Shoot away.
So you're leaving a show and there's the DeLorean sitting there with its door open and a flux capacitor in the back seat. So clearly you're going to jump in because you can bring it back the exact same time. Nobody will know you borrowed it. What band are you going to go hang out with and at what time?
There's a lot.
I'll go first. I'm going to say Van Halen, 1977, 78, probably Gazaris or something like that. Like when they're just starting to make a little bit of steam, you know, in what they're doing. I think about that all the time. Like, man, I don't want to go back and see anything.
Now Jay's having internet issues.
I think seeing Eddie playing and Diamond Dave on top of his game and the whole band and just people just like, what is going on?
I agree with Jay on that. Sunset Strip, 77, 78. There was a lot of stuff going on there that didn't get the credit. I mean, you had bands like Van Halen, Montrose, Cheap Trick and all those bands playing all those clubs at that time, the Runaways.
Yep.
And it seems like everybody, when they say the Sunset Strip era, they always think of the 80s, but they don't realize what was going on in the late 70s back then. That'd be really neat to see that.
Or AC/DC when they first started in Australia. That'd be cool.
No, I feel the same way Jay does, really, with even like going a little bit further into their Van Halen's first tour when they were blowing Ozzy and Sabbath off the stages in Europe and stuff. I would love to be, would have been like to see that, be in that middle of all that. Or, you know, maybe the tour when Elvis and freaking Johnny Cash were on the same bill and they're driving around together. And, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of history there that you could, a lot of parties you could have been involved in. First time Zeppelin played on a stage in England somewhere, or first time, you know, whatever. Even if I'm not a big Zeppelin head, it's like that's just history you just want to be there for. But the Van Halen thing is definitely in us. I know Jay and I are huge fans.
That was a crazy time back then. A lot of history in the music, because like a lot of people don't realize that AC/DC, the amount of albums they had out that were never released to the United States until they broke, like Dirty Deeds and stuff like that. They were released 3 or 4 years after they actually came out originally. They were just never on a. So that I just think that whole music scene back there in the mid to late 70s was very interesting.
There's probably still a lot of stuff that's on vinyl from that era that people missed out on because it just, that cream didn't rise to the top, but it's probably still top notch stuff.
Yeah. Even for me, having older brothers, first time I heard Styx, The Grand Illusion from front to back, that album just completely just blew my mind. It was just the melodies and this, that's when I realized, but what you could really do with music, you can make people feel things. And again, that's the late 70s stuff. That's the, you know, that shaped the 80s, whether people want to admit it or not, it did, you know.
Yeah, and I don't think you really get that kind of vibe from newer music anymore. I mean, there's bands that'll pop up every now and then and move a little bit of hair on your arms, but me personally, I think music is fast food anymore. It's so processed, you know. By the time you get to the end of the song, you don't think about that song ever again. It's fast food. It's the same way you're eating a Big Mac. The Big Mac's good until you're done with, and then you don't think about it anymore. You know, to go home and like, I had a really good Big Mac. Like, yeah, everybody's had a Big Mac. You don't ever have those. Yeah, you don't ever have those stories where I just heard this song and I don't know what it is. I have to find it. This song, it moves something in me. And you really don't see a lot of that or hear a lot of that anymore, I should say.
Yeah.
Let's go with a legend. So Robert Johnson, the blues guitarist. See some. I figured you guys. Yeah. Sometimes I bring him up and people are like, who? No. All right. So Robert Johnson, the legend is that, you know, he was a terrible guitar player and tried to force his way on stage and they kind of pushed him out of the scene and he was going for a year. He comes back. Now he can play. And so my question is, if you were standing at the crossroads, like they say he did, waiting for the devil to show up, what are you going to sell your soul for musically?
Wow.
To write a song that I'd hear 30 years later still being played on the radio. That's always been my.
You're in the right area for that.
I know. That is true. Yeah. Down Boys from Warrant. This was number one on our local radio station here 2 weeks ago. So.
I'd say just so I could play any instrument you handed to me, I could play. That would be my crossroads deal.
That's a lot to think about. What do you think, Ben?
Oh, geez. Yeah, I guess on that same lines, this is like kind of like an odd thing, but yeah, everybody would think about it. Kind of like what Gooch said. You know, have that staying power. If you could write one song that no matter what the genre was, whether people accepted it or not, maybe it would like kind of unify people. You know, they would find a common thread to it and say, wow, yeah, that
like Journeys, so, Don't Stop Believing. That's just
like a really good message that everybody can identify with. And then you could keep doing that over and over again and be, like you said, stay viable and, you know, not that you want to say to be remembered, but still kind of prevalent in people's minds, I guess. And stay fresh. Always stay fresh, you know, musically. That might be a good thing.
What's a song that you didn't write that you wish you would have written? Since you guys are, you like laid that one up for me. I could.
Didn't write. Go ahead, Tim. You start this one off. He's gonna say Yankee Rose, like, or something.
Not it.
Not it. I wouldn't.
Yeah, that's a good question. Good question.
There's so many songs. There's so many. I don't know. It's all gonna come off cheesy. I would think. I'm thinking of all the ballads that made all the giant, all that money, and I'm like, no. But then, you know, if I say something like that, then I'm thinking of leaving out so many other great pieces of music that are. You know, like you said, Gooch, Bohemian Rhapsody wasn't a giant hit at one point. It was just an incredible song that nobody knew it about.
It was a
big fight. That's what it was.
Yeah,
a big
fight. It was Mike Myers. No, I'm just
kidding. Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, that is a very good question.
Yeah, I think you got all four of us stumped right now. I mean,
wow. We're not saying Stairway to Heaven, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Hey, how about this? I'll switch the question for you. So I was Saturday, Jay and I were at the same place, and Skell was headlining, and I can't help myself when they're on stage. I end up singing along, and you don't want to hear that, but... What is a band that you guys can't help yourself? You just get into the moment and go with it. And while you're thinking, I'll keep talking. The reason I realized that I was on my way home, I'm like, man, my throat hurts. What is wrong? Oh, wait.
I was singing.
Yeah. My kids yell at me when I sing.
I've done that a lot. I mean... A lot of people are against it, but I did see the Queen tour with Adam Lambert singing, and I sang along with every song. Pretty much any time I see Cheap Trick, who's another favorite of mine. There's a lot basically the bands that I'm all really influenced by. I mean, a lot of these bands are the go back to my childhood. You know what I mean? Like 7 years old hearing Grand Illusion from Styx, then seeing them play that live on stage. I mean, stuff like that, but. They're the stuff that I would sing along with. And I've done that. I've left shows with, we go way back with Scale, me, Benji, and Tim do. I mean, back Inside Out days, we've known them when they were Whiskey High. So we know those guys well. So
I made a big mistake mentioning Whiskey High. So, Whiskey High was before I started doing my thing. And, I did a benefit concert that, all the money that came through the door went to Rock for Life. And I contacted all the bands. I'm like, hey, like even bands that weren't playing, I'm like, you guys have anything that I can give away? And so all these, I got like mugs and stickers and buttons. And they gave me a Whiskey High cassette and I gave it away without listening to it. I believe Matt Franny took it.
Yeah,
I actually own that. I actually have a Whiskey High cassette, believe it or not. That's somewhere.
But yeah, once I realized, you know, everyone was like, oh, did you listen to him? I'm like, no, they're like, why not? I was like, oh no.
So I don't have a cassette player.
So to this day I still haven't heard it. I bet I could ask Mikey and get one.
You can probably find it on YouTube, I bet. I know some of Triple X's stuff and stuff. There's bands like that. Their stuff's on YouTube now.
This kind of plays into Saturday. So Scout had various singers come up on stage. if this is the official Build a Scene question, by the way, who's your Dave Grohl? And by that, I mean, what band do you want to go up on stage with and play one of their original songs? Because you know, Dave brings people up for with the Foo Fighters all the time.
That's another tough one. I mean,
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
He's really hitting these, huh?
It's like, could you ask those cliche questions again?
how about Blood Union? I'd go up on stage and play a song with Blood Union. No, but that's I think that's the way I look at it too. I mean, yeah, I don't know if I honestly would want to go up on stage and play with somebody like that. I'd rather kind of do my own thing. Does that make sense? I'd rather watch them play their stuff than me go up there and destroy them. You know what I mean? I mean, it'd be great to go up and play a Rush song, but I would fail at that. But it's, you know, covering Geddy Lee's bass lines. But yeah, that's a very tough question. I would rather listen to Queen play a song than me go up there and play it with them, if that makes sense.
No, that's a cop-out answer.
Yes, it is.
No, that's a good answer. I'd want to be on stage with Guns N' Roses and do like My Michelle or something and just be standing by Slash and just watching him play and me messing up all my parts, you know.
Yeah. I'm gonna default to Diamond Dave getting to sing one for him or getting to sing one for one of my other faves, Tom Kiefer from Cinderella. We played with him twice and I could do his voice really well. I'd like him to say, "Hey Tim, go ahead and take one for me. Let me do this."
Tim could walk up on stage and step in for Tom Kiefer for a song. Yeah, no doubt. There's no doubt about that.
Benji, what about you, buddy?
There's too many that I would like. I'm such a big fan of Troy Lakeda, so I would say Tesla.
Oh yeah, Tesla. Yeah,
I love Tesla. Probably them. That'd be a cool.
What about Steve Vai, Benji? You could sit in for.
Oh, I know, but I didn't want to say that. I did not want to say that. I probably have about six. I have about seven songs I'd love to play with Steve Vai, but. at least seven, the lucky number seven. Yeah, that'd be great.
Hey, so here's where I put all of you on the spot at the same time with one question.
I can. Okay.
Oh, no, wait. All right, so, you know, me and bands, embarrassing things happen from time to time. I want to know about something embarrassing that happened on stage, but you can't tell me something you did. You have to pick someone else in your band and tell me how they embarrassed you.
Wow.
are you trying to break up the band?
Listen, I did this with Fist Fight in the Parking Lot, which was Abby from the X and Chris Ruane and all of them. And Abby wasn't there, but everybody else in the band told me a story about Chris Rudog. Every single one of them. He's like, "Really, Bill?"
I thought Tim and Benji were going to bring up the AC/DC moment. When the false click in, and I started singing and nobody else joined in. So I just held the note out. I'm talking about myself. I'm not supposed to, but.
Yeah, when we did we did an AC/DC cover of Are You Ready, which starts with an a cappella voice. You know, and again, are you ready? And we all click, 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 and the rest of us walked away from the mic. And Gooch says, and there's like 300 people looking at him, really, while we're laughing. We never do anything.
I went on to the next syllable. I was like, "Are you looking around?" And we joined in. So,
I don't think in Blood Union we've had that. Moment. Where we haven't, I'm trying to think.
It's funny that you use that term because I've had bands tell me about like band members having that exact problem.
Well, you know like, what?
Literally having that problem on stage.
We are 100% live, harmonies and all. And so if something happens on stage, we can usually regroup pretty quickly with eye contact. That's one thing that's great about this band. I mean, we're, Yeah, when you go to see Blood Union, we're 100% live. We don't play the tracks or anything. Not downing it, but I'm just saying we just don't do it. So we're fortunate enough that we can do 3-part harmonies and make them sound pretty good, you know. But
So that didn't work. So I have to ask another.
You just jinxed us though, because now we're gonna fall into each other. Something's gonna happen. Do something. Fall to stage.
So that didn't work. So now I have to put you on the spot in a different way. So I want to know who you think has supported you the most as a musician over the years, but you're not allowed to pick a significant other or your parents.
Wow.
Tim. Well,
I got to say my brother, Tim.
I got to say Tim, too.
Yep. Jay, do you want to go with me on this one, too? No.
It might be a continuous circle. I mean, I think all of us, no matter what we're doing, like if I'm doing something and one of the guys make it out in the circle and it's like, supporting. And like when I'm not playing in four of my other bands, I try to make it out and see somebody and especially in a group and stuff. I mean, I think the four of us, especially since COVID, have been really supportive of one another, which is kind of cool. Because a lot of times now, and it's annoying too, because you'll send somebody messages like, hey, we're playing. And I'm like, I got so much stuff to do. It's like, man, we're not asking you to give up and come up every show. Like, what you can make one time. Yeah. So it's great when we have that inner circle. I think that's why the four of us work really well together. You know, we're supportive of one another, and we definitely know that all of us are going to be there or the show won't go on.
Yeah. I was out of the scene for a long time, and Tim continuously, come on. And so I'm glad he did, though. I'm having a really good time right now. So. Yeah.
Coincidentally, that's what I was singing on Saturday. Come on,
I knew
come
it was
on,
missing
on,
from your life.
Right? Notice I stopped there. Get up.
Yep. Oh yeah.
Okay. So before we get too much further in,
well, with brothers, it's definitely a thing.
Give me an MTV moment. Tell me about the song that we're going to feature tonight,
Tim.
Yeah, I'll take the first half, and then Tim can come in with the second half. I mean, that song came – well, the music kind of just comes through. I put a drum machine on. I kind of maybe hit on something will ping, and then I sent it to those guys. And then, like, that's what's cool about this band is, like, I had this maybe a meat and potatoes idea, and then I bring it in to these guys and it's Gooch over there. Hey, just do that, change this, put this there, and Benji's backer just throwing down a drum beat that you couldn't never program and sound better. And then Tim just is standing in the corner, and you can just see him working something, and he comes right up and to the mic, and even if he's just mumbling something, he has the melody line there and the cadence and everything. And sometimes I step back at practice and I'm like, and I hear what's coming out of the monitors and hear what's going on in the room. Like, that's just started with me recording a couple bits and pieces of an idea and send it to those guys and just come in. And Tim's lyrics were always great. His melodies are really cool. And there's a lot of hooks and a lot of catchy stuff to what he does and what everybody does in the band too. But Let Me In just came out as me just working on something stupid where I always don't think anybody's going to like what I send out. And then I send it out and here we are now. It's over 30,000 streams, and it's because of those three guys right there too.
And
what they bring
to the
table.
It was only released like 3 months ago, correct?
Yeah.
End of June. Yeah.
Tim, do you have anything to add to that? Since they mentioned what Jay said.
Yeah, I mean let me in. I kinda go to a special, I try to write from a special place every time. And a lot of times I'll harken back to something that I went through or that that I see other people going through, or I'll see I try to make you feel positive about something. I don't know. I don't like to write negative stuff, but I'll try to write something that makes you feel to get the most out of yourself, if that's what it means. Like I always call it self-improvement lyrics. But in this case, Let Me In, I kind of hearken back to anybody that's ever gone through a divorce or a death. In my case, it was a divorce. And how oftentimes, if you have children and you go through a divorce, children can go through a lot, and they can have a struggling relationship with one or both parents. And in my case, I wrote it to her, Let Me In to my daughter, and about my get through to her. You know, we're great now, but back in that time, 15 years ago, that was, it's tough times for anybody that's gone through divorce. Children are always like the byproduct of something else, of what's going on there. And you things go wrong, and it's that, that's what I wrote about. I wrote it to her, about how I felt at the time and about me trying to reestablish our relationship. So that's it's always I always try to write something from the heart. So it's not, I don't write BS. A lot of my lyrics rhyme, but it's, it's a stick in your mind more than anything else. That's what that song's about to me. But like I said, beauty's in the eye of the listener and the beholder. So you can change that. You can make that message to, adapt to whatever you're going through in life.
All right, so here's where I'm going to, I mentioned the theme of the music in this show. Now I'm going to let everyone in on what that is. So way back at the beginning of the episode, you got to hear a song. It was A Common Crown, Broken Glass. And what we're going to hear next, we're going to play two songs here in the break. The first one is After the Fall, Ride or Die. And then we're going to listen to Blood Union's Let Me In. And we may even hear some Heathen Parade at the end.
It's like a J, a J hour.
I do that from time to time. If there's a Rock for Life show coming up, you'll notice that my playlist is usually the bands that are on that bill. So I kind of throw in some hidden things every once in a while. This one I gave away.
And all those bands you mentioned too, even though Jay's in most of them, we all great people. We get along with them, good friends of ours. So play it away. So
all right, so we're gonna listen to After the Fall, Ride or Die, Ride or Die, and Blood Union, Let Me In, and we'll be right back.
Hey, freeze, bitch!
You freeze, bitch!
Those who fail and those who ever
Bill, let me ask you a question. How do you put your bands on this show? How do you pick people?
So
what's your process?
So the answer is there really isn't one. sometimes they submit music out of the blue and I listen to it and I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then I'll send them a message. I'm like, hey, you want to come on the show? Sometimes I post on Facebook and say, hey, I have all these shows open. Anybody interested? And, you know, I do listen. There have been some bands that I've told them, listen, not yet. Submit some stuff down the road because I can't play what you're doing. the one that I'm thinking of, he has actually been on the show since. But it's in the beginning, it was whoever would come to my house and play. but really what happened with you guys was I was looking to book and I was like, Jay's in a bunch of bands. And I went, let's see, which one do I want to talk to? generally, what I try to do is, like, if I see a flyer for a show that's coming up, it's a benefit show, and I'm familiar with the bands, I'll contact one of the bands, say, hey, do you want to come on and talk about this show? If there's a new song coming out, you know, hey, you know, do you want to come promote your song? The reason I picked you guys when I decided to contact Jay was because I did see that you're that let me in track, and it was getting a lot of listens. So I was like, that could help me.
Yeah, buddy. It should always be reciprocating, you know. We should all be trying to help one another.
Yeah, we should. It should be a big circle. We put it, just so you know, we put a lot of promotion. We just don't put a song out and walk away from it. We network with playlists, people that run playlists and everything. That's what we do. You have to. That's mm-hmm. the only way. If I release, you know that, if you put a song on Facebook, 5 of your friends will like it. No one will share it, and it'll die the next day. No. We keep going and going and going on it. So it's a lot of work. It is.
I'll throw some numbers at you. I haven't looked at it in a few months, but the Build the Scene website usually gets between 250,000 and 300,000 hits a month.
Nice.
Very nice.
And then, you know, the podcasts, where those are getting, like when they're being played on XRP Radio, XRP Radio has 13,000 followers on Facebook. Rudaroo is in the double digits, thousands. So, you know, the reach is there. And, you know, I've talked to bands. I didn't interview them, but I played their song. There's a band in Iran. They're a metal band. And of course, I can't remember their name right now, but it's actually illegal to make metal in Iran.
Oh, yeah.
I did hear that. Yeah.
They tracked me down. They're like, hey, will you play this? I'm like, absolutely.
That's awesome, man.
I've talked to people in Wales, all over Scandinavia, Italy. I actually spoke Italian in that episode. Not much of it. but yeah, you know, there's, like I said, there's no real, if you've listened to that episode or you've been in one like you guys are right now, there's no script to anything I do with this. So, you know, it's, if you listen to the intro to the song or the show, it talks about walking backwards, which is a Creep song. And that's kind of how all of this has happened through the years. I was kind of walking that way and ended up facing this way and doing something different. right down to the first episode of this show being a spur of the moment. The guy was running a radio station and needed to remove a virus from his computer. So Brian and I took over. And that has led to 638 episodes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so you definitely have a working system and program, you know, you're doing 638 shows, you know. So kudos to you. And there's great photos too.
There's no support level for us, but you people. That's the thing about it. There is no support level for us. Can't get on radio unless it's hard to get on regular radio. but you guys are sport level. I'm the fans. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. So appreciate anything.
My favorite thing, well, two of my favorite things about doing this is, one, I get to meet a lot of new people and hear a lot of new music. And back when I wasn't into music until 1996, which is when all of this really started. If you go back, and it all started with a band called Hybrid, which was Steve and Matt Ferrani, Tim Henry, and John Coslin. I was teaching myself how to design a website, and I came across their website and it wasn't done. And I was like, oh, I'll use their content, and just because I was trying to teach myself. And then next thing I knew, I was doing their website. And then I was doing
probably multiple bands' websites.
Steve's brothers, Bruce, his band Sundog, and then they broke up, and Chris Riggy ended up in Cage, and I was doing Cage's website, and then Doppler Effect, and it just, and that's where the music came from that Brian and I played on the first show, is all the bands that I was doing websites for.
That's crazy.
Let me give you guys two more questions, and then I'll let you ride off into the sunset. These are the two easy ones that I told you that I was going to ask you at the end. Where can the listeners track you down online? Where's the one best place? And I'm going to put Facebook up on the screen, but you don't have to say that one.
Follow us on Spotify.
No.
Our songs are on there. Or Apple Music, any of the sites. Instagram.
The streaming services are on there.
Yeah,
Spotify. And if you don't pay for something, YouTube has everything we have. It's on, you know. If you don't pay for a streaming service or whatever.
And lastly, what's coming up next for you guys? What do you have lined up?
More songs.
Yeah.
We got two new songs.
Yeah.
And we got a show at Jurgles coming up Sunday, November 13th, right? Correct? And that's with Last in Line, which is actually Dio without Ronnie James Dio. So it's Vivian Campbell and the rest of the guys that was behind Ronnie James Dio, and with just a different singer. So that should be a good turnout. And like I said, we got two songs that are coming down the pipeline right now. So I'd say within the next month or so, we'll be ready to record those. Actually, the one of them we just played at Jurgles, our last show, and I think it's going to be our best song. It's going to be our best song. I guarantee it.
We got a real good response from that. That mm-hmm. surprised me. We're done with the song and the way the people reacted. We yeah. also have a song done too. It's in the studio. We just haven't finished the vocals on it.
Yep.
So constantly.
We try to release
a song like every 2 months, every 3 months. That way we just stay on the radar too. And we have CDs at shows, which you can buy mm-hmm. and stuff, but some people actually want a physical copy of something, you know, to take home or something. But we try to stay on the radar by releasing a song every 2 to 3 months. And you stay on the radar. You know, some people just release a whole album and then like, everybody's attention spans measured in nanoseconds. So they just click, 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 and it goes to the back of the card and they throw another album in. So if you just give them a little bit to chew on every couple of months, like you stay in their mind for sure.
I have a 6 CD changer in my car. Right now there are 4 local bands and 2 Kiss CDs.
Nice. What Kiss CDs?
I think I have Double Platinum and Live in there right now.
Nice. Oh. I love Double Platinum.
But the 2 of the 4 local bands currently are Blackridge, but they rotate. My daughter has recently gotten into Blackridge, and
really good, really talented band. Wow.
Yeah, I've only caught a little bit of them, but from what I've seen, they're a fantastic band. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, my kids are, my son is 14 and my twin daughters are 12 or 12. Yeah. 12. And, they just turned 12. and they really like, they know what I do and they're all into music, just not generally what I listen to. They all play instruments. They all sing. They're choir and musical and community bands, and like music is a big thing in this house. But my daughter, one day I was playing Blackridge and she's like, who is this? So she's seen Blackridge play about three times now. She's nice. also seen Doug Carnahan play three times acoustic. She's seen Doppler Effect and she's seen Borstal Boys. So
she got to come see Blood Union next. That's
yeah, break it out.
Come somewhere close. She doesn't make it too late into the night.
I'm sure we'll have something coming up.
Yeah, but yeah, the Jurgles show November 13th, opening for Last in Line. And because everybody plays in so many multiple different projects, we're limited. But we pick the best shows and try to do them. That's what we do, you know. There's a lot of schedule conflicts, but we have the days open. We'll play them. And, you know, our main goal is every show we play is let's do the best job we can and walk out of there with new fans. That's just how we look at it. So. Mm-hmm.
All right. So I told you I was only asking you those two questions, but I have one more. I lied. Where do you guys record at?
Tonic Studios in McKeesport.
Tonic, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
I think
with Doug.
With yeah, who?
Doug Casper. Think,
Doug yeah. Casper, yeah.
Is Lee Caruso there too? I think maybe.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to get in touch with him again. It's been a while since I talked to him. but anyway.
Nice.
It was awesome having you guys on. Thanks for hanging out with me.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having
thanks.
Us.
Thanks.
And what we're going to do now is we're going to play some more of the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Probably going to be Heathen Parade.
Nice.
It's not – I don't have the music physically here yet. That's why I said probably. But and then when you hear John American Hill Jack Lane tell you how to subscribe – where to listen and all the things he's going to say, you'll know that it is the end of the show. When that happens, that doesn't mean that you should tune out of the station you're listening to. You never know. You might find another awesome unsigned and independent band to check out. So with that said, make sure you check us out every Friday at buildascene.com for the Pennsylvania Rock Show, first and 15th for three questions and a song. And Friendly Fire, you're just going to keep an eye out for because we do not have a set schedule for that one. We will catch you next time.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
You're awesome. Let it out!
This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate and review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.